Welcome to Menachem Begin, His Life, Legacy, and Uniquely Jewish Statesmanship, a limited series podcast brought to you by Tikva and MeirSoloveitchik.com. This special series is sponsored by the Hart N. and Simona Haston Family Foundation in partnership with the Menachem Begin Heritage Center in Jerusalem. The episodes in this study of Prime Minister Begin's remarkable leadership are drawn from Rabbi Soloveitchik's comprehensive, year-long podcast on the history of the most interesting city in the world, Jerusalem 365. Jerusalem 365 is available at MeirSoloveitchik.com. And now, on to Begin. This is episode number 12, Brisk at the White House.
In 1958, a volume was published in Israel titled Brisk Delita, Encyclopedia Shel Galuyot, Brisk of Lithuania, Encyclopedia of the Diaspora. In this work, some of the few surviving Jews that had grown up in the Jewish community of Brisk composed articles describing their memories. One contributor to the encyclopedia was the leader of a small party in the Knesset in the 1950s by the name of Menachem Begin. Begin wrote the following, "I have asked myself more than once, if it would be possible to travel to Brisk, would I get up and go back to the city in which I spent my childhood?" Begin answered his own question, writing, No, I will not allow myself to go back to Brisk. Yet Brisk will always follow me and be with me, because the three main things I have learnt were instilled in me in sorrow and also in joy that I have carried with me from my childhood home, with me during the nights of conflict and the days of joy. Here they are. 1. Love your fellow Jews. 2. Do not fear the nations. 3. Fortunate is the man who carries the yoke of his childhood with him. So Begin wrote. This is Begin, for it struck me reading this that these three lessons learned in Brisk, learned from his family and community, encompass Begin's career. We have discussed how, in the Altalena episode, Begin's love for his people inspired him to insist that there would never be a war between brothers. We have seen how Begin reacted to pressure from other world leaders, how he reacted without fear, how he stood for Jewish rights and for Jewish history. And we have seen throughout how Begin always bore the yoke of his childhood with him. All three of these lessons were reflected in his life, and the third was perhaps most profoundly reflected as Begin stood on the international stage and delivered unforgettable remarks in the White House. In preparation for the peace accord signing in the center of the free world, Begin had written out a draft of his speech, and then, as Yehuda Avner describes, he gave it to him, asking him, as he put it, to Shakespeareize it. Yehuda Avner put in his own language and left the final draft for Begin in his suite. Then, he recounts, he was told that Begin wanted to speak with him. Then he was told by Begin that he needed him to come to see him because Begin needed the original draft of the speech for use at the signing. Yehuda Avner writes, quote, "I ran into the lobby just as Mr. and Mrs. Begin were exiting an elevator surrounded by a bevy of bodyguards. Baruch Hashem," cried Begin when I handed him the pages. "Thank God you caught me. The speech that I left on your desk, it's not what you wanted?" I asked, somewhat peeved. "You weren't happy with my changes?" "Oh no, they're fine," he assured me. "It's just that as I was going over the typed text, I suddenly had the feeling that today of all days, I want to read my own speech exactly as I wrote in my own hand." And, Yehuda Avner continues, "to make the implicit explicit," he added, "I wrote it from the heart and I want to read it from the heart." End quote. Thus the peace accord signing ceremony proceeded. Sadat's speech, which followed Carter's brief remarks, included the following passage, quote, "Let there be no more war or bloodshed between Arabs and the Israelis. Let there be no more suffering or denial of rights. Let there be no more despair or loss of faith. Let no mother lament the loss of her child. Let no young man waste his life on a conflict from which no one benefits. Let us work together until the day comes when they beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And God does call to the abode of peace. He does guide whom he pleases to this way. Thank you." End quote. Then, after this striking reference by Sadat to the Hebrew Bible, Begin said the following, noting that this was one of the most important moments in the history of Israel. Quote, "It is, of course, a great day in your life, Mr. President of the Arab Republic of Egypt. In the face of adversity and hostility, you have demonstrated the human value that can change history, civil courage. A great field commander once said, civil courage is sometimes more difficult to show than military courage. You showed both. But now is the time for all of us to show civil courage in order to proclaim to our peoples and to others, no more war, no more bloodshed, no more bereavement. Peace unto you. Shalom, salam, forever. And it is, ladies and gentlemen, the third greatest day in my life. The first was May the 14th, 1948, when our flag was hoisted, our independence in our ancestors' land was proclaimed after 1,878 years of dispersion, persecution, and physical destruction. We fought for our liberation alone and won the day. That was spring, such a spring we can never have again. The second day was when Jerusalem became one city, and our brave, perhaps hardened soldiers, the parachutists, embraced with tears and kissed the ancient stones of the remnants of the Western Wall destined to protect the chosen place of God's glory. Our hearts wept with them in remembrance. Omdot hayu raglenu bisharayach Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim habnuya ki'ir shechubra la yachdav. End quote. Thus Begin elegantly emphasized the importance of Jewish Jerusalem in the midst of the peace accord signing, quoting the psalm's description of the Jewish connection to a united Jerusalem, a psalm sung by those that went on pilgrimages to Jerusalem, speaking of how their feet stood in the gates of Jerusalem and how Jerusalem was a city whose parts were joined together, thereby highlighting the unification of the city once again.
The Menachem Begin Heritage Center is the national commemoration project honoring and preserving the legacy of Israel's sixth prime minister. The Begin Center houses a library, archives, research center, educational department, and a full museum. Its mission is to pass on to the next generation the principles of Menachem Begin's values-driven leadership and to provide a space to explore what that means in today's complicated world. Visit the Begin Center in the heart of Jerusalem to experience the life and times of Menachem Begin.
Then Begin spoke of the third greatest day in his life, adding, quote, "This is the third day in my life. I have signed a treaty of peace with our neighbor, with Egypt. The heart is full and overflowing." So Begin said, and then he made clear from whom he had learned this love of Jerusalem, from whom he had learned to never give up hope, from whom he had learned to love his people and to face the world without fear. Begin further said, quote, "God gave me the strength to survive the horrors of Nazism and of a Stalinite concentration camp, to persevere, to endure, not to waver in or flinch from my duty, to accept abuse from foreigners and, what is more painful, from my own people and from my close friends. This effort, too, bore some fruit. Therefore, it is the proper place and the appropriate time to bring back to memory the song and the prayer of thanksgiving I learned as a child in the home of my father and mother that doesn't exist anymore because they were among the 6 million people, men, women, and children, who sanctified the Lord's name with their sacred blood, which reddened the rivers of Europe from the Rhine to the Danube, from the Bug to the Volga, because, only because, they were born Jews, and because they didn't have a country of their own, nor a valiant Jewish army to defend them. And because nobody came to their rescue, although they cried out, 'Save us, de profundis,' from the depths of the pit in agony. That is the Song of Degrees written 2 millennia and 500 years ago, when our forefathers returned from their first exile to Jerusalem, to Zion." Then, Begin, in a moment that many have told me they will never forget watching on television, took out a kippah, placed it on his head, and read in the original Hebrew, without translation, Shir HaMa'alot B'Shuv Hashem Et Shivat Zion Hayinu Kecholmim, a song of degrees or a song of ascent. When God returned the captives of Zion, it was as if we were dreaming. So Begin said, there was a tradition among many that during the week, Jews would conclude their meal by reciting the psalm by the rivers of Babylon, the lament for the loss of Zion, the psalm that contains the declaration, "If I forget thee, O Jerusalem." Then on the Sabbath, when the homes of these Jews were suffused with the Sabbath peace, they would express their faith in what was yet to come by singing instead the psalm of the return to Zion. Menachem Begin had experienced the destruction of his family, but he learned from his family not to give up hope. There is a reason why, for Jews in the audience and around the world, it was this moment that was forever emblazoned in their memory. Suddenly in Washington, the prime minister named Menachem for consolation after destruction, remembers at the summit of his career his own parents and so many other Jews, Jews whose blood ran through the rivers of Babylon, the rivers of exile, the rivers of the diaspora, as Begin put it, from the Rhine to the Danube, from the Bug to the Volga. And then, standing before the world in the White House, Begin made known to the world that it was because of the loyalty to Jerusalem and the love for Jerusalem of so many Jews that had come before him, of the Jews among whom Begin had grown up, that the Jewish people persevered until the return to Zion occurred. Menachem Begin remembered Jerusalem at Camp David, and he remembered Jerusalem at the White House. And he also remembered there a small Jewish home in Brisk, where he was taught to remember Jerusalem. And he thereby at the White House reminded Jews everywhere of the Jewish connection to Zion and what Jews owe to the love and loyalty of those that have come before. This is Mayor Soloveitchik. Looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.